You're listening to Bands and Botanicals, a unique podcast where we discuss herbalism, fitness, and healthy habits for life. Enjoy the show. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hey, so welcome back. We are in November and continuing on with our immune health kind of segment here. And we've got Danielle with us today virtually. I think this is our first virtual one.
I think this is our first virtual one. Yeah, we did one right before you moved away, left us in Southern Oregon.
I know. It's so nice and sunny here, and I don't have to worry about fires. So, yeah, I can't say I miss it too much, but I definitely miss the people. So.
Yeah, no, oh my God, I feel that. I think I was telling you earlier, we had some gnarly windstorms last night, and it's just been, it's wet, and it got down to 28 last night.
Wow, that's actually colder than it's been here. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Weather.
Yeah, well, crazy weather, crazy health. Everybody's still scared with COVID-19 running amok. We're in year two of this right now. And so more and more people are worried. Like, I was at the grocery store the other day and I coughed and I just felt like, oh, like the leper. All of a sudden I was like, oh no, I'm too close to people, or, you know, I had just a tickle in my throat. So we want to talk about immune health. We're going to actually dive into bone health. So that's going to be really interesting. I'm excited to have Danielle able to join us because it really has a lot to do with immune health, and ways that we strengthen bone health is something that she can talk about as well.
Movement is, I mean, I've said it a thousand times on this podcast, movement is medicine. In this case, it very much is so. And the best part is that it's a non-pharmacological way to keep your body healthy and to kind of slow down age-related declines in our life that happen within our bodies. And it's just, you know, it actually is medicine for our body. And like we'll talk about later, stimulating bone growth and then also stimulating certain cells within bone marrow, which is something we'll talk about in a little bit. There's just, you know, it goes beyond what we usually hear about, I guess you could say.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's really important because we dive more and more into immune health. And I know that there's a lot of fear mongering going on in the news because, let's be honest, news stations are there to sell clicks and papers and articles. And the scarier things are, the more people are, you know, that's a big motivator for people to read articles. And when we're talking about the immune system, it's a very complex system and a lot of things can get lost in translation. And so, you know, there's a lot of fear and there's a lot of worry around immune health. And when we think about immune health and the immune system, we don't necessarily jump to bone health right away, but both systems actually are very complex. And one of the ways that we're going to kind of intertwine those two today is the immunoskeletal interface. And that really is where the body's regulating those responses to invading pathogens through, you know, those pathways. And so that's something that I want to dive into, and I'm really excited because there's a lot of studies being done and a lot of studies that continue to be done about bone marrow and our bone health and how that all ties into immunity. So I'm glad to focus on that today. So Danielle, why don't you go ahead and kick off some facts for us?
I mean, I definitely had to do a little bit of research on this. I mean, this isn't exactly what we focus on when you like first become a personal trainer, I guess. And it's really fascinating. I mean, we just kind of get the surface area. And I really liked what you said when you spoke about that the immune system, it is a system. It's not just a singular thing. Just like when we talk about the body, when we talk about movements, we do coordinated movements or dynamic movements because everything is connected to each other. And when one part of the body is off, another part of the body is off. You know, you think about your ankles. We've talked about the way they affect your knees, your hips, and everything like that. And we really associate that sometimes with just like, I don't know, it's almost like we have a disconnect between like the movement system and the immune system, I guess you could say.
Oh, definitely.
We don't really think about them intertwining. We don't really think about them working together. But what people are discovering, and I would like to note that like you said, there are a lot of studies going on, and like everything that I read is talking about how this is just one study and how, you know, there's still so much, I mean, in the history of science, study has, and you know, all of this deeper intricate work has only been able to come because of technology. So it hasn't been a focus for so long. So there's still so much that we're learning. But the immune system.
Yeah.
The immune system, one part of it being a collection of you know, millions of blood cells that are made within bone marrow. Now, when you have these white blood cells, they are the cells that, I guess, and Paula could probably go into way more detail about this, but they're the cells that fight our infection and keep us healthy. So exercise increases the production of these different white blood cells. And some of these white blood cells, they do different things. Some of them kind of find and kill harmful bacteria and viruses, and other ones kind of are being thought that they could be used for regenerative medicine and tissue repair. We talk about these different white blood cells, the way they could work differently in our body, and that exercise stimulates the production of these white blood cells. So a group of scientists wanted to kind of study that a little bit more in depth. They got a group of male mice in order to study, and they put them on a progressive speed treadmill training program for 5 weeks. So these mice were just running their little hearts out on this treadmill. And then they had the sedentary group, or at least the group that wasn't, you know, stimulated to do this extra exercise. So the basis of this study was that they wanted to see if exercise stimulated the production of more mesenchymal, I believe it's how you pronounce it, mesenchymal cells. And these cells are the ones that I talked about before, the ones that could be used as regenerative medicine and the ones that could be used for tissue repair. And, you know, we do have a lot of these different types of cells in our bodies. Most of us think about as stem cells. In my case, I had Schwann cells, which were kind of similar to stem cells, but found in the sciatic nerve, and that's the largest nerve in the body. So that was the types of cells that they used to regenerate my sciatic nerve after my accident. That was their study for their experiment with the body. But so you could kind of get an idea that all these cells do different things. They wanted to focus on these MSC cells is what we could condense it down to. So basically, over the course of this 5 week program, they found that the exercised mice significantly had more production of the MSC cells. So they kind of, you know, while they still have so much to study in order to call it a quote unquote fact, they've kind of proven their theory that through this exercise, they find more of these regenerative cells, these tissue repair cells, which inevitably make us stronger, our bones healthier, and most likely, you know, help with the degeneration that comes with age.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a few things there. It's like, if you want to break it down and keep it simple, the adage that's been, you know, said time and time again, if you don't use it, you lose it. And if your body knows that you're being physical and you're staying active, it'll continue to support itself. But if it feels like, you know, and this is why I have issues with, you know, like old folks' homes all the time, because they almost force those people into a sedentary lifestyle a lot of the time, which continues that degeneration even at a faster rate. And, you know, and this is why I definitely love that we keep coming back to that. And that's really why we started the podcast, because no matter what topic we talk about, exercise and herbs always complement each other so well to support the body in a whole health way. And, you know, this just proves it. It's like, if you're worried about your immune system, you need to get out and you need to sweat and you need to move your body and you need to do things, especially when you're not in the dirt, in the garden. You know, I've noticed like I had a little head cold, and it obviously had a little bit to do with the different climates that I was moving to and just that whole transition, but also the fact that I hadn't had my hands in the dirt. You know, I hadn't been getting into that. I haven't been moving as much because I drove across country. So I was sitting for 12 hours a day, which is not healthy, you know. And what happened? I immediately got a head cold, right? So I think it's so interesting. And there's so many studies. That's one of like a million.
There are a couple more things that, yeah, I will talk about with the correlation between bone health and immunity and movement and all that stuff. So it's all very fascinating. I mean, it's an interconnected system, 100%. It's a whole little world in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so we're talking about really the bone marrow and how the immunoskeletal interface kind of supports that bone marrow within our system, and how those T cells and those B cells that Danielle was talking about. Because what happens is the bone marrow in our body forms specialized blood cells, and those are, we most often hear about T cells, especially when the AIDS epidemic and things was really big in the 80s, the T cells was really talked about. But we also have B cells, and those are the humoral immunity cells. And so the B cells actually stay in the bone marrow and mature in the bone marrow, and they have a very specific way of IDing pathogens within the body. And they move throughout our fluid, the fluid in our system, in our body, which we know is part of the lymphatic system, because we've talked about that, those gutters in our body that, take the water away, that can kind of get jammed up sometimes. So when you have these B cells that have been growing and strengthening and maturing in our bone marrow, that then travel through the fluids and the lymph nodes in our bodies to go to our spleen and to go through our blood and to fight off those pathogens that might be in our body. If our lymph nodes or our lymphatic system is blocked up, that plays a big part too. And so all of these systems kind of play together. And this is why a lot of the time when I talk about immune health, it's really the kind of surface or the tip of the iceberg. And what we really need to be talking about is the bone health and all of those other things to make sure that we're supporting our whole health. And that's really the only way that we're going to be able to support our immune health.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I always love coming back to whole health, and I love that it's such a continued theme no matter what we're talking about. Like every conversation we've had, it can come back to whole health. And the difference between treating one part versus the entire thing, and instead of just treating the symptom, treating the cause and just looking at the body, like we keep coming back to, as interconnected things. So do you have any like herbs or anything for us that could kind of support all that?
Yeah, so some of the herbs that I have, I'm going to touch on a few we've talked about before. So if you've listened to the podcast before, and Danielle and I have had plenty of conversations about this, but the one thing to really focus on, obviously, is if we're talking about bone health, we're talking about herbs that have a lot of vitamin and mineral content. So they've got high vitamins, high minerals. For anybody who knows anything about herbs or might be getting into herbs, the one that they probably pops into their head first is nettle. Because that's very well known to have a lot of vitamins and minerals within it. So, one of the things I would say when we're talking about immune health and getting right before we're getting into herbs is looking at your potassium levels. So, the herbs that I'm going to be talking about today, they have a lot of different minerals like potassium, calcium. Oh, and another thing is, I got a question the other day and it was, and I'm pointing it out just in case there's anybody else. It's not anything other than just pointing that out to make sure everybody understands this. Vitamin C and calcium are two different things you need within your body. And so sometimes, they think vitamin C is just a smaller version of, calcium or what do you call that? The abbreviation. But calcium and vitamin C are two different things, but you need both along with vitamin K, magnesium, potassium, like I mentioned, all to really support the organs within your body. So what I would say is for anybody, and I'll ask you, Danielle, make it a little interactive, how much potassium do we need daily? Do you know? I'm just doing, I know you don't know. I'm just asking.
Can't tell you, I know that one.
So a banana has 420 milligrams of potassium. And we need 4,700 milligrams of potassium a day. Yeah, so if you're thinking, oh, I had my one banana, I've got my potassium for the day, I'm sorry to say that you don't. You have to have quite a few bananas to get the potassium. And like we mentioned on the show before, potassium helps support all of your other organ functions, and it's really important. So I would challenge you to, instead of just tracking your calories or instead of just tracking some of the things you normally do, track your vitamin and mineral content intake, and especially your potassium intake. So some of the herbs I'll talk about will really help with that. And if you're breastfeeding, 5,100 milligrams of potassium a day. So it's a lot when a banana only has 420 milligrams.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so the phytochemicals that are within things like rosemary, thyme, we have one that we haven't talked on the show before. Now, rosemary we know is really great for inflammation, oxidative stress. It also prevents bone loss, which is really good. So as you age and as you start thinking about your bone health and also your immunity and how both of those systems can become weakened, it's as easy as starting to add rosemary and thyme and some of those things into your diet. Now, horsetail is one that we haven't talked about, but this is a really good one you can use in a tea. It has like a mild grassy flavor to it, and it's a cooling herb. And it also actually is an essential oil, which if you've listened to the show before, you know I don't recommend ingesting any kind of essential oils, but as a topical, it actually has like an antimicrobial agent to it. And it's called horsetail just because it looks like that, kind of like a thin grassy herb, but it helps strengthen your bones. And there's a lot of research that's actually been done around how it supports and prevents infections after fractures in the bone, and helps to support the effects of osteoporosis. So that's really the herb of the day that I think is really the gem is horse tail.
Nice. I like it. I had never even heard of it before.
Yeah. It's one of those where I try to, you know, weave in. There's those tried and true ones that'll really help, like rosemary and thyme, especially when we're talking about immune health. Because I remember, I think it was last year, you or Jeff had the little head cold. And I was like, oh, just do a thyme steam and kind of inhale it. And it'll help open up your respiratory. Yeah.
That was delicious. Not only helpful, but it also is very relaxing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it definitely like broke up all that mucus and kind of that nastiness that sits in the back of the throat and in the nasal passageways.
Right, absolutely.
And such an easy application. I think that's even another thing to be noted is like literally just putting it in a pot and steaming it and then creating a little tent for yourself. And, you know, it feels so doable, which I think is an important thing for people.
Yeah, I think, you know, we talk a lot about whole health with whole foods, like, oh, eating, you know, whole grains and whole this and whole that, but we don't talk about whole plants. And a lot of the time people go and they're like, oh, this chemical constituent in rosemary that helps with this, that, and the other thing, I'll just grab that. And it's just like, no, it actually works well because it's the whole plant together. You know, pulling out those chemical constituents that they have in pharmaceuticals isn't as effective. And yeah, you know, and of course you're not going to have the effects like you would, you know, no, there's not going to be any kind of overdose of using too much thyme that I've heard of.
It will taste too well. yeah, that's amazing. I love the application of that. You know, a couple of things just to note about kind of exercise and the way that it could help. You know, we talk often about how, you know, as little as 30 minutes a day of just walking, not even, you know, vigorous exercise, it can help decrease heart disease. It can help type 2 diabetes. You know, I've met people, especially through certain gyms that I've worked at and stuff, who have been able to eliminate the medication that they've been taking for diabetes and really kind of reverse their lifestyle through not just movement. Obviously they had to change other things as well, but sometimes you tend to find that when you find that right group for yourself, both kind of go hand in hand and you start to figure things out to kind of make it sustainable, I guess. So, you know, some amazing things that have happened through that. It also has been shown to, with moderate exercise, it can boost immune function. Now, I kind of wanted to make a little note that I did say moderate exercise versus just exercise in general. We've talked on this show before about how, you know, overtraining yourself is a stress on the body, how, you know, there have been some studies showing that consistent, you know, vigorous exercise all the time is going to possibly hinder, your immune system instead of benefit and boost the immune system. So kind of finding that happy medium for yourself. It doesn't mean that you can't have vigorous exercise in your life, but we've talked about having that balance. You know, some days you move hard and fast, some days you move slow and mindful, and they're finding this direct correlation between moderate exercise specifically and the way that it kind of stimulates the body without taxing it too much and ability to boost the immune system. Also that, you know, movement has been shown to stimulate the bone walls. So you're actually growing bone and kind of stimulating that formation and that whole process as you are moving and as your muscles are pulling at those bone walls. So you're, you know, every time you move, you could visualize the good that it's doing for your body. I mean, I've been doing that a lot lately with certain things in my life is, you know, I'll kind of see like, in my head, okay, if this happens, it's going to have a direct correlation to this thing that's going to be happening inside my body or someone else's body or whatever that is. So, you know, kind of making that visualization for yourself as well. And, you know, we talked about it earlier. We've said that there's still a lot of research and stuff going into all of this. But, you know, I think you and I can both say that when you have some movement in your life, when you kind of, you don't have to be perfect, you don't have to be insane about anything, you don't have to be obsessed with anything, but kind of find a little bit of a balance, you do feel better. And what more evidence do you need than the way that you can observe the way that you feel?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can direct relationship with it without having to read studies of this and that. You could truly just really tap in and feel it for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, and we've touched on this a little bit throughout, but the immune system really is tied into our gut. There's tons of studies actually being done on how our mental health and our immune health are combined. And so if working out makes you feel better, that's also in turn is going to help your mental state. One of the things I actually posted about today on my Instagram was on my stories. I haven't had a chance to do the full posts most of the time, but it was bacopa, and one of the herbs I'm going to, well, not herbs, but things I'm going to recommend today, which is purple sea moss and some berries and things that have some high antioxidant content. And those all together, bacopa is fantastic when it comes to mood stabilization and support. It's called the tree of life for a reason. It really supports whole health. And I've mentioned different herbs on the show, and then I mentioned how they apply to that specific topic, but all herbs have a variety of different ways in which they can react. And so if you really look at bacopa and you research that one, you'll see that it helps not only with mood stabilization, but immunity. Some people will say it helps as an aphrodisiac. I don't necessarily agree that things are aphrodisiacs. I think there's things that'll support your reproductive health, then in turn will also help other things. But long story short, yes, I totally agree. And purple sea moss, the one that I mentioned, you had mentioned, like with thyme, you get in, you're sick and you get that kind of mucusy thing and it really helps. This is actually a really great one for that as well. So it helps with detoxification because it really helps the lymphatic system. And that's really how you're going to detox some of that. And combining like a purple sea moss with some rosemary tea or something that's a rubefacient that's kind of push things out of the body and warm it up. And you put those into a smoothie in the morning with some other stuff and you've got something that's great for your skin, your immune health, your gut health. I mean, and it's just like, why not? Especially as we get older, it's really, really important to keep moving and keep thinking about nutrition and herbs.
Yeah. Check out Paula's Instagram for that, because I saw you posted that. Yeah. A picture of the smoothie or something on it.
Yeah, and it was actually good. Some of the stuff I post doesn't necessarily taste the best because I'm just not like a chef, so to speak, in that way. I'm just like, oh, I'll do a little this, little that. And it makes sense from a scientific standpoint, but not necessarily from like an edible standpoint, but I'm going to eat it anyway.
I've liked everything you've made so far that I've tasted.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just real quick before we finish, I love that you brought up how the mental is being shown to have effect on the immune system and kind of the overall health of the physical body itself. Because there's this amazing documentary that I recently watched, and it was called Heal. And it was basically about kind of the power of the mind and kind of the mental strength someone could have in that, you know, radically affecting the way someone's body. And I do use the term radically, and there's more that goes into this. I mean, I do suggest people just watch it for themselves if they can. It's called Heal. They talk about this radical recovery, and it was like something that really stuck out in my head. And, you know, they talked about how if you sit and you kind of visualize, like this one doctor, he got into an accident, Dr. Joe Dispenza, if you know who that is. But he got into this accident, and I believe he really messed up his spine. Like, I'm not sure he was supposed to be able to walk again. And he ended up sitting and visualizing his spine literally being, like, reconstructed. And obviously, he's a doctor. I mean, he may be able to do that a lot easier and just be like, oh, here are three parts. Let me put it together.
Like little Legos.
But, you know, he practiced every day, and it wasn't something that he was just able to drop into, but he practiced every day on trying to be able to visualize his body literally healing itself. And, I mean, long story short, he ended up healing himself and was able to walk again, and his spine got stronger. And basically, the base of that is that they were talking about the creation of new neural pathways, I guess,
right,
and kind of wiring what the body is focusing on and what the brain is thinking about it, and kind of like taking away maybe some of the stress receptors, because that, you know, if you have more stress, you call for more of those receptors, they just get created more and more in your body. And it was just incredible. I mean, like, people whose bodies were ravaged with tumors and all of these insane things. So I highly suggest, if anyone is interested in watching more about the you know, the relationship between the mental and the mind and the brain and the physical and how you could heal yourself, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I think it's really good for people to realize that some of the things that we've always thought were science fiction, you know, like it sounds a lot like the Doctor Strange movie a little bit, where he, you know, totally ruins his hands, then he has to go through this whole meditative kind of journey to knit himself back together from the inside out. And more we're realizing as we research these things, how they're not as science fiction as we thought, how it is really a possibility, and how the mind is the controller of the entire body. Why can't it do those things? If the ability's there, it just has to be told to do it, right? And visualization is a really, really powerful thing. So one of the things I think I want to touch on was also claims that I've heard about cytokine, which is a part of the immune system within our immunoskeletal interface, so the ISI. So it's a centralized system, and it's got cells and cytokine in it. And there's been a lot of fear-mongering in the media about cytokine storms. I don't know if you've heard about this, but it's essentially something that they think is linked to COVID-19, where your body is flooded with inflammatory proteins, and it essentially creates this kill response in it. So it kills tissues within the body, very similarly to the autoimmune response that HIV/AIDS has to the body and to the immune system. And so essentially the body starts attacking itself. And so there's a lot of things that are happening. Your body naturally produces cytokines, and it's something that's naturally linked to our immune system and the function of it. Now, for people who are on, and this is why I just wanted to mention it as a disclaimer, and this is something that I've heard before, but, you know, if you are moving your body, like Danielle was mentioning, if you're eating whole foods, whole plant incorporation, you're watching, you know, what kinds of chemical medicine you're using, you're regularly seeing your doctor and working with maybe a naturopath or an herbalist or whatever it might be, your immune system should be doing what it needs to do. It's kind of rare that we see this cytokine storm effect happen, where COVID-19 makes the body attack itself in that way. And because, you know, when we're talking about immune health, for the most part, that's really on people's minds a lot of the time is COVID. So I just wanted to make sure to mention that it's not necessarily something we all need to be super worried about if you're already healthy. And because I did get a question about it, and cytokines are just naturally produced, and it's part of that system. So I wouldn't worry too much about this cell death, because what it's really used to do is attack tumors and pathogens and things. But, you know, that being said, what Danielle and I do is just for educational purposes, and you should always consult a physician if you have any other questions around that. And there's also rapid testing centers for COVID-19 and all of those things. So to wrap it up, I just wanted to mention, we talked about how the bone marrow produces those blood cells and the T cells and things that are really important for our immune system that go through our body. Danielle mentioned some really great studies and some of the really interesting things they're doing that link exercise and continue to link exercise to not only the immune health, but bone growth, which is really important. And I just want to say that I see a lot more older people in the gym than I used to. And I think that's a good thing, especially for women, because it really does fight off, if you're doing weightlifting, it really does fight off osteoporosis.
Yep. Gotta keep moving.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. Till next time, peace and love.